want to extend a greetings to all of you in Jesus' precious name. It's been a real blessing to be here with you and share this day with you and just be a part of you. It's just a real blessing. Got some comments this morning before we get very far, but the boys, just one point I want to bring out about rebellion and doing the Lord's will and rebellion, and it also goes with Floyd's comment about thankfulness. And complaining. They tie together very closely. Rebellion, you know, we might not know the Lord's will for us, you know, as far as going out and just doing something for the Lord. We'd all, you know, most of us that want to serve the Lord want to be that person that wants to be ready to do whatever God wants them to do. And as we live our lives, we kind of might get a little confused, you know, might not think that know what God's will is, but He has a very simple will for us to do. And if we'll hear that beginning and do those things that are the least, then we will be worthy to go on and maybe do something bigger or something more, or maybe even suffer more or whatever He would have us do. But children, how do you know the Lord's will for your life? You have a father and you have a mother. Honor them. Obey them. Wives, daughters, you have a father. How do you know the Lord's will? Honor them. Respect them. Please them. It's pretty simple. We've got our places, don't we? Men, how do you know the Lord's will? Lord's will is for you to take care of your family and to guide them, to love them. Be patient with them. You're the leader, not the straw boss. You're the leader. Guide them. Just a few simple things to know the Lord's will. That thankfulness, you know, I've observed. I just want to take a moment just to mention Olin. You know, thankfulness goes along. You know, a person that wants the Lord's will or wants to do what's right, they're ready, asking, desiring counsel and help from people. And one of the things I noted most about Olin, there wasn't hardly anything he ever did that he didn't call me and say, "Hey, brother, what do you think about this?" And you know what? 95% of the time, he said, "That makes sense. I want to do that." Not all of it, but most of the time. And he was thankful. You know, a thankful person, you know, we usually think of complaining and grumbling as griping about somebody that's above you, don't we? Or somebody that has a little more control over things than you do. And that's one we usually wind up griping about. That's why it's usually towards the Lord, even though we may use a few bumpers in between there, buffers, to get to Him. But it's usually directed at the Lord. And I've noticed that people who are thankful are looking out for advice and they're ready to take it. And then the complainers are the ones who, when they hear advice, they don't like it. When they're asked to do something, they don't like it. And they're the ones usually winding up complaining. It's just kind of neat how it all ties in that way. and how they're all tied together, and that doing the Lord's will is just being what you're supposed to be right now and respecting and honoring those that are over you. Like I said, we've said it many times before, submission doesn't come from forcing from above. Submission is from beneath. We choose to honor those people, even though they make mistakes, even though they're not perfect. But that's what we do. Anyway, praise the Lord. Just wanted to thankful for the thoughts that were shared, and just the Lord bless them. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before you this morning and we thank you, God, for your goodness and mercy. Thank you, Father, that you hold all things in your hands. We thank you, Father, that, Lord, though you've given wills, free will, Father, for men to choose and hate you and do against you, and you've also given us the opportunity for good. And we just want to choose to be that, Father. And we just ask you to fill us with your Spirit, that you'd give us wisdom, Father, that you'd open our hearts and our minds, Father, that you would help us, Father, to present the thoughts, Lord, and the things that we understand, Father, but yet so hard to get into words sometimes. We just ask your blessing on that. Help us. We ask all of this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. All right, I want to open our Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 26. Got several thoughts today, so bear with me. I guess one of the first thoughts, just to get it out there, is wanted to talk a little about salvation. And here we'll see a couple of different examples of people. There's a lot of ideas about salvation in the world, and a lot of them, especially on this day, revolve around Christ dying and shedding his blood so that he could appease God, so that God could forgive us. That's probably one of the most ugly thoughts that's out there today, because it does not do God justice. God forgave people all through the Old Testament. You know, the idea that Jesus died so that God could forgive us pits Jesus against God. You know, there's a verse in John that says that he is the arbitrator, that Jesus is the advocate with God. You know, the thought is that Jesus is up there arguing with God and saying, "No, forgive them because I died for them. I shed my blood, so don't be angry with them." But that is so far from anything that's holy and right and good. Jesus and the Father and the Spirit are one. They don't argue and fight with each other. Man was lost and in Satan's bondage, and Jesus came down here to defeat Satan. And he had to die and shed his blood to defeat Satan, not to appease God. God forgave us and loved us because that's who he is. He's full of mercy and love and grace. And we've got this idea that there's an angry God up there, and he hates us and because we've sinned against him, and he's so just and holy that he just can't even tolerate the slightest little thing. And it's only for Jesus' grace that, boy, we're good. Because now Jesus don't see us anymore. God don't see us anymore. All he sees is Jesus. Well, that's not who God is. these verses here we're going to read about. Jesus was being had been taken by the Romans, and Peter and some of the others came to just get close to see what's happening. And Jesus said, or Peter had already told Jesus, you know, Jesus had told him, "You're going to deny me three times." And Peter said, "Never me, no way, I'll never do it." And within just a day, or a few hours, you see how, you know, we can be so dedicated. We're going to just do something. And then, now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came to him and said, "You too were with Jesus the Galilean." But he denied it before them all, saying, "I do not know what you're talking about." When he had gone out to the gateway, another servant girl saw him and said to him, and said to those who were there, "This man was with Jesus of Nazareth." And he again denied it with an oath, "I do not know the man." A little later, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, "Surely, you too are one of them, for even the way you talk gives you away." Then he began to curse and swear, "I do not know the man." And immediately a rooster crowed. The way he talked stood out to them. "Well, you're even talking like one of those persons. And to prove it wasn't," he began to curse and swear. Just to prove to them that he wasn't with Jesus. That's going to some pretty low depths, isn't it? That Peter's a rascal, ain't he? That's the way we look at it, isn't it? But he was a man, just like you and I. Tempted with the same things that you and I are. And then the rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word which Jesus had said, "Before a rooster crows, you will deny me three times." And he went out and wept bitterly. What a response. We know the life of Peter. Later, he still wanted to follow the Lord. He failed. His opportunity to shine, he missed it right here. And it broke his heart. He went out and knew that he had failed the Lord. So he dusted himself off and got right back up and went to follow him. Now when morning came, all the chief priests and the elders of the people conferred together against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him and led him away and delivered him to Pilate the governor. Then when Judas, who had betrayed him, saw that he had been condemned, he felt remorse and returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, "I have sinned by betraying innocent blood." But they said, "What is that to us? What is that to us? See that to yourselves." And he threw the pieces of silver into the temple sanctuary and departed. And he went away and he hanged himself. You know, if we just look at these two responses, Judas, when he realized that he had done wrong, he repented pretty well. Because he took everything that he had and even gave it back to him. And he wept. But he didn't really repent, did he? He went out and hanged himself. He couldn't see that God's good enough to forgive him. He went out and hanged himself. Both of them. One of them denied the Lord. One of them betrayed him. I think that's part of the difference. You know, betrayal sometimes is a hard thing to accept. You know, we've had people that have done us wrong, and, you know, we forgive them and be glad to forgive them. And then you see them somewhere and they're just all smiles and happy and glad to see you and wondering why we can't just do things all the time together and just... But there's something there. There's a betrayal there that's happened. And it's hard for us. And sometimes we don't understand it. You know, how can they be so happy to see us? You know, and then we don't understand our feelings sometimes. You know, well, why shouldn't I be that happy maybe? Because we know we've been betrayed. We can love them, and we still know that there's something there that's wrong. And just trying to do all this stuff just covers it up sometimes instead of actually, like Peter went out and wept bitterly. He knew that he had done wrong and he was going to fix it inside. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, I think one of the difference between forgiveness and betrayal is trust. You know, I think Peter trusted the Lord and he failed. And you know, I just wonder if Judas ever really trusted him or ever trusted him. And he saw an opportunity, and when he failed, he knew he couldn't trust him anymore. And I just think there's so much to, you know, we talk about faith. And faith, if you just kind of boil it down, is, you know, we've talked about the definition that faith is you and I responding to God's claim on our life. It's not just a religious thing. We just do these things religiously because the Bible says so. If you don't have trust in that, you don't have anything. Both these men believed that Jesus was being condemned. Both of them knew who he was. But one had something. He had a trust. You know, and you and I want to have, you and I want to, when we have a trusting heart and a trusting spirit, we want to believe people. You know, we've had people in our midst that don't believe and don't trust in anybody. You know, that's part of thankfulness, and what we were talking about earlier is being able to trust someone else. Last week we talked about, you know, we see God's goodness, and you know, people sometimes doubt God, but yet they see people with the attributes of God and they trust them. And that just encourages us to know that there's a reason behind that, that we could trust God. And this trust, you know, if you and I can't trust people who we can see, how will we ever trust God who we cannot see? You know, I think that's one of the big things in churches, the big problems. Nobody trusts anybody. That's why we have to put all these restrictions and rules on everybody, because we don't trust anybody. We think we know better. It takes trust to do that. And that's, like I said, I think that's a big thing. You know, sure, your brethren will fail you. Sure, I'll fail you sometimes. But we look past those things, and that's, see the differences? Judas couldn't get past those things. He couldn't live with himself because he didn't have that trust. Peter, although he had failed, he still knew who God was. All right, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 again. Verse 23 says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Here, Jesus, the night he was betrayed, took bread. You know, this idea of communion and fellowship, or the Lord's Supper, you know, I think sometimes it gets just to be a thing, you know, just another little thing. And that's the way I was brought up with it. You know, sometimes I'd take it and I'd be scared to death because I didn't know for sure whether I was right or not. So I didn't know whether I should take it. And then you get into churches and they have big council meetings and make sure they go through everybody and ask them all kinds of questions and make sure every little thing is right in their life before they'll commune with them. And so it becomes something, you know, I don't know what it becomes, almost a condemnation session. Just make sure everything, it becomes a power session. And it just is communion, you know, it's no big deal. The early church, and this is what, you know, this is one thing I'd learned from the early church, is that they took it weekly. They took it when they came together and met. The Lord's Supper. It was the love feast, they called it. It was important to them. Because this took the place of a lot of the other celebrations. You know, when we look at the other celebrations that the Jewish people did, they did them anticipating Christ. They were looking for him. In fact, Jesus even took the Passover before this took place. Now, the Passover's the death. This is the resurrection. You know, when you look at the Passover, you know, it's all about the death. And the resurrection, it's kind of sketchy. You don't know what it is out there. But the Lord rose. And that's what we're celebrating. The Bible talked about the eighth day. And that's when Christ was risen on the eighth day. Now we meet together on the eighth day. We don't treat it as a Sabbath, but we meet together on the eighth day, celebrating his resurrection. You know, I was just kind of amazed at how you know, we see Jesus hanging on the cross a lot of times. People, churches exalt that. But you know, I'm not about that death. That death was a horrible thing. And that death was something that Satan did to our Lord. God turned his back whenever he saw him. He said that he couldn't even look upon it. Gives the indication of that. Because it was a horrible thing. The Son of God being killed by this world. And it's something we go past and go through. And now the church, the kingdom of God is now. Somebody asked me about that this week. What about the revelation in the kingdom of God. And I said, the kingdom of God's living in our hearts. And if we don't have it now in our hearts, we won't fit in heaven. We don't belong there. We have the power to love our neighbors. We have the power to please God. We have the power to do His will, because Jesus shook the gates of hell and defeated Satan. He is defeated. He roars and He's mighty and He scares the daylights out of people. But it's only their fear that keeps them in bondage. Christ is risen from the dead and is alive at the right hand of God. And anybody who takes His Spirit has the power. The kingdom of God is dwelling in you. That's why Jesus said, they'll know you by your love one for another. It wasn't because you could preach like crazy out there and let everybody know. The world, the church, they'll know the church because of their love one for another. Because the kingdom of heaven has a little dwelling place right here, right now. So that we get to heaven and it's just a continuation. It's just an expansion of what we have dwelling in us now. It's not all that dark religion. You know, I was amazed how many people, how many businesses were closed in observation of Good Friday. It ain't a good day. It's a horrible day. The early church, if they celebrated it all, passed it with fasting and prayer. Today, we celebrate Good Friday and we go have a party. We go to the lake. We go get drunk. We go do all kinds of things. Have a big celebration because Jesus died. And miss that He rose again. That's what we're celebrating. That Christ rose from the dead. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. That in the night which He was betrayed, took bread. He took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you, do in remembrance of me." Jesus has given us something that means something. That He's given us His body. We don't need all kinds of celebrations to get to this. We have His body. "This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, He took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." You see the significance of this communion, this Lord's Supper? It is the very covenant of His blood. That's why we don't get caught up in all the other things that were leading up to this. We have the real right now. It says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes." You see, this is a covenant. But one day, we won't do this anymore until He returns. Just like all those other things that led up to where we're at today. All the different It's the same God that loved us and preserved his people till Christ could come to fulfill this. So that you and I today, as part of the body of Christ, don't need all those other things. We've got this. The covenant of his blood. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. You know, we look at ourselves, well, I said, I messed up, I had a bad thought. I said, that's not what he's talking about. Do you have the kingdom of God in your heart? Do you love your neighbor? Can you forgive people who've done you wrong? Can you reach out and help people that need help? Can you live the way Christ wants you to live? Do you honor your parents? Do you respect them? Even though they fail, can you forgive them, but still give them the honor that they need? Can you honor your husband or whoever it is over that has authority over you, that has responsibility for you? Can you honor and respect them? Are you in the place where you're supposed to be? Are you reflecting the kingdom of God? Not without flaws. We all have them. But are you part of the light of the world? Or are you just a religious, dull, dark part? No reflection at all. You know, the reason we can love is because we've tasted love. The reason we can forgive is because we've tasted forgiveness. The reason we can have mercy is because we've tasted mercy. The reason we can have compassion is because we've tasted compassion. Can we take what God has given us and reflect that back to the rest of the world? That's why it says, but man must examine himself. You know, this is one thing. It doesn't say, bring yourself to the bishop and let him examine you to see whether you're worthy. It doesn't say wait until the church declares you okay. It says examine yourself. You know, Judas even took part of this. You know, we don't have extra rules. We don't, you know, that we know of. When we started here, we wanted just to maintain what this book tells us how to live, and each one in their place and doing their responsibilities. We just want to take that. So examine yourselves. Are you a part of that? I mean, that's why, you know, it's kind of significant. The covering is right here in the same chapter. There's probably a reason for that. You know, it's just one of those things. It's just a New Testament teaching that we're putting into practice. So we like to honor that. The modesty of the women, we respect that. It's a teaching that the Bible has. And we want to keep those things. Just to be a New Testament church. We're not going to say, we're just, you know, if you just have to do this, go ahead. But that's the danger. I mean, it's not my place to be the judge, to decide all of these things. It's not, you've got to examine yourself. Do you love the Lord? Do you want to be a part of his kingdom? Do you want to reflect his kingdom? Are you putting into practice these things? Are you thankful? Are you respectful? Are you part of the kingdom of God? It's just a blessing. As often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he come. Yeah, he died. This was his body. But it's risen again, just like the baptism. You go under, it's the death of the old man, and you rise to newness of life. Newness of life, girls. Newness of life. Become a new creature. And just like partaking of the body, it's Christ dying and then new life, giving us new life. And it's the resurrection. It's not just a dry old other religious church, you know, practice. This is the covenant of his blood that we're partaking of. May God help us to be the kingdom of God right now, this week, until the Lord returns. All right, we'll sing another song here, and then as Kevin and Liz and prepare for foot washing. We'll have foot washing and then we'll commune together. Amen. Well, maybe somebody has something to share.
Thank you to everybody for taking me to a walk on since the beginning. I'm just grateful to God for putting you all as a group in my path. You've been role models for me.
God bless you. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I would miss Will today as well. Pray for him. Anyone else have anything to share? And Connie. Connie wanted to be here this morning. So pray for her too.
Praise the Lord.
God bless you. God be with you. Praise the Lord. once they're ready, even in the middle of the song, we'll just start here. And so. All right, God bless you.